Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you that this is hopefully the last day of cold weather for the year. Thank you for creating all the seasons for us to enjoy. Your uniqueness, all the animals and all the scents and all the things to see and all the things to hear. You created it all for us because you love us. And thank you for all of that. Thank you for creating this universe for us so that you could have a bride. And thank you that you asked us. You said, well, you got to be without spot or wrinkle. And then you said, don't worry, I'll do it. So thank you that you are going to do that, that you're going to prepare everything. So let the words that come out of my mouth today be your words and not my own. And let everybody be edified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. I was driving over here. I listen to. I have an app that plays the Bible, and it's fun because you don't have to read it; you just listen to it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because sometimes I'll find myself not hearing things, and I'll be like, "Oh, I wasn't even paying attention." And then all of a sudden, something will just stick out, and it's like I think sometimes God just wants you to read the Word, and then He'll point out what He wants you to hear. And it's like all of a sudden something will just like catch your attention. So, but at first I was reading in Samuel, and it was about just going forth and taking what God has given you. And then I went to Joshua, and the same thing. It was just about going forth and taking what God has given you. And it's like we are meek in the wrong way,
right?
Because we should be humble, but we are given things to do by God, and we should boldly do that. And it's like if God's already prepared the way, there's no point in being meek about it. Just you don't have to be overbearing and abusive, but you need to be bold. And people will see that. I mean, it's like when Jesus spoke, He always spoke with authority, and people notice that. They're like, wow, this guy doesn't talk like the other guys when he talks. He says things. He doesn't say, I believe. He says, I know, and things like that. Because if you say, I believe, that means that's questionable. You're like, well, I believe this, and you believe that. But if you say, I know, then there's no questioning. You're like, well, this is the answer. Yeah. And so that's the way, when we speak for God out of the Bible, we got to speak with authority. I know. And there's no other way. You can't have an answer because that is the answer. That may offend some people, but it may also set some people free. I mean, we're designed to be with God and of God. And so when you have that security in this is concrete, you don't have to worry. People go, I don't know if I'm going to heaven or not. You're like, really? How do you not know that? I mean, Jehovah's Witnesses, if you talk to them, they're crazy. They're like, well,
it depends.
I may get to go to heaven. I may not. Why? Well, because I may not be one of the chosen. Well, how do you know if you're one of the chosen? Well, I just don't think I'm good enough. You're like, really? This is your religion? It's like, it's nuts. I'm like, first of all, none of that is in the Bible. I could see where you could pick it out and you could manipulate it and turn it into that. But it's like, it's crazy. How depressing would that be to be in their religion where you don't think you're ever good enough? It's like God said, oh, you're not good enough. Like, hallelujah. God is good enough for me. I mean, let's just get that out of the way. You're not good enough. Cool.
Right.
But because they think it's their own, they think it's their own self-worth, their own works, how well they did. It's like, yeah, you can, your best is the worst. The best thing you could do isn't good enough to be with God. So God already prepared that. It's like the Christian religion, even, there's a bunch of false ones, but the Christian religion, I don't even say religion, being a Christian is the only thing where the God actually came down for us. Amen. And did for us and said, I'll do for you. Every other thing that's been invented has said, you do this for me and maybe I'll let you in.
Exactly.
It's like, how can people not see that? It's the only one that's different. It's why everybody hates that one. It's like, that's too easy. But again, like they've had a bad example of what it is to be a Christian. And they think, well, yeah, that guy can't love me because they don't know. I mean, the Catholic Church scared people into submission, giving their money by fear. How am I going to get into heaven? Well, if you got to give money. It's just so much bad over the years, and we have to, share to the world that that's ignorance and that's not who God is. And that's the that's what the devil does. The devil takes, perverts it so that you don't know who he is. That's why you always have to get back to the beginning and the word and the truth and make it simple. The man is always inventing new words for things. And you go, no, go back to the beginning. Homosexuality is fornication. It's not a, you can't be a man and a woman and woman. It's just fornication. It's not a homosexual. You're a fornicator. It's like, take it back to the beginning. You know, it's like, just use what God uses. And that way there's no ambiguity. You know, it's like, but then God loves you. Because people always go, well, he probably hates me for that. He's like, no, he hates your sin. He loves you. You got to separate. That's why the Bible says the word separates, the spirit separates between soul and soul and spirit. Because our flesh is wicked and our spirit is not. And it's like the Bible can separate between those two. I love you. I hate your sin. Your sin is not who you are. Your sin is what you've done. But that's covered. You know, 2,000 years ago, Jesus died on the cross. Everybody on the entire earth, whether they receive God or not, their sins have already been covered. They just have to say, I will take your free gift. Because Jesus said, my blood is there. It's covered you. Do you want it or do you not want it? And that's it. And if you say yes, I mean, that's simple. It's simple. We didn't do anything. And because people go, well, I had to make a choice, so I did something. Like, no, you didn't. When you go to a birthday party and somebody gives you a gift, you didn't do anything for that gift. They just gave it to you. So it's awesome. All right. That was my mini sermon from Jim.
It was a mini sermon from Dave.
Yeah. So it's awesome.
love it.
But Jesus went, or chapter 8 of John, sorry. It's good. We've been, I love God's word. That sounds dumb because, you know, I mean, whatever. It's the Bible. But it's awesome. You know, it's just like what's powerful is as you read it, God just opens it up to you. And you just see things. You see the humor. I see God's practicality and God's humor and God's love. That's what I get out of the Bible. God is very funny because people take themselves way too serious, and God is always just. I was funny because I was talking about something. There was a fellow that posted about the banks and the banks are falling apart, and I said it's just all a bunch of wealthy man that set an arbitrary standard of what money's worth and what banks are going to fall apart. I said, it's not. None of it's real. I mean, it could be easily changed right now. I said, and these all these powerful men, and God laughs at them. The Bible says he laughs at these men who are so brilliant in their minds, and you guys are idiots. You guys have no clue what's going on. God will let it happen or not let it happen. Doesn't matter. He's in control. Everything can fall apart, and he's in control. You know, the Israelites would go into captivity, and they'd be blessed. If they were seeking him, they were always blessed. I don't know if you guys know. So when we went to Italy, one of the places we went to visit was they call it the slums. It was not slums. They were very nice. They had copper gutters. I'm like, this is not slums. They have copper gutters here. These are thousands of dollars worth of gutters just on this building. Anyways, so during the World War, it was the Second World War, that's where the Jews were kept. And they were only allowed to have three jobs. They could be doctors, lawyers, or bankers. I thought, what? How is that a bad thing?
I know. It's like,
they were like, you are only allowed to be. It's like, you know, it's like, so it doesn't matter. Even in captivity, so this is, you know, they were quarantined to this area. Even in captivity, they had a nice place to live. They had food to eat, and they could be doctors, lawyers, or bankers. So it's like
a country.
God has a sense of humor. It's like, just trust him, and he'll take care of you. I mean, they don't even have to do anything. That's just it. They're always running away from God and doing not God, and God still blesses them. Parents want to bless their children even when they're not doing what the parents want them to do. You know, it's like...
Just like us.
Yeah, yeah.
So, just like the Jews.
That's right. We are. And that's how we say, you know, you're always the bad guy in the story when you're like, oh, I'd never be Saul. And you're like, you're Saul. It's like, yeah. Whoever the bad guy is, we do that. Yeah. We do that. We're not the hero. We're the bad guy. but that's who God came for. God didn't come for the righteous. He came for the wicked. And he said, I'll make you righteous. I'll make you holy. I'll make you perfect. So it's awesome. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives.
Where are we?
John chapter 8. It was funny. Another side note. Mary and I were talking about that yesterday because she was talking about our church. And she said, will it ever thrive again? And I said, when we're in Israel, you see these olive trees and they're 2,000 years old. And the old stump is just still sitting there and the new olive tree is growing out of it. I said, that's our church. I said, it will thrive. It's going to continue to thrive. So it's just like, it's God's thing, it'll always thrive. Yeah, anyway, hallelujah. I could continue to go on rabbit trails for hours. That's a gift.
It is a gift. It means your mind's connecting things.
Yeah. And at dawn, again, he arrived into the temple, and all the people came to him. So he had just taught, in the previous chapter, he had just been talking, and they're like, how do you know all this stuff? And he's coming. So he's coming back, and all the people are excited. So, well, some of the people are excited. Some of the people are terrified. They're going to lose their lunch program. And again, Jesus arrived into the temple, and all the people came to him, and sitting down, he taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman having been taken in adultery. And standing her in the middle, they said to him, Teacher, this woman was taken in the very act committing adultery. And in the law, Moses commanded that such should be stoned. You then, what do you say? So they're trying to trick him. And that's what the devil does all the time. There's a guy that I listen to, and he'll point out things. The news will say this, and you go, God, it sounds awful. And he'll go, what they're trying to do is this. And he'll show you. And I'm like, man, what a gift that guy has to be able to see what's really happening. He can go, really, what's going on is this. And the answer to take care of it is this. And I'm like, wow, I didn't see that, because all I can see is what they're showing me. But you had discernment enough to know. So Jesus knew. I mean, they're coming to trick him. And Jesus is going to laugh at them. Not out loud, but more or less. He's going to show them their heart. But they said this, tempting him that they may have reason to accuse him. But bending down, Jesus wrote with the finger in the earth, not appearing to hear. So immediately, I think that's funny. Jesus does that a lot. People will come and they'll say stuff to him, and he'll just keep doing what he's doing. I think he's probably listening to the Father. We don't know what he's doing. But it's like he just pretended not to hear him. Because I mean, that's what you do with the devil. The devil talks to you and just ignore him. Because he'll do that a lot. He'll try to put fear into you. Just ignore him. Ignore the devil. Because he's putting lies or he's trying to trick you. A lot of times he's tricking you into thinking like you're thinking that God is bad or God is evil or whatever. He's just tricking you. So you just got to just ignore him. In one ear, out the other, as they say. But as they continued questioning him, bending back up, he said to them, the one among you without sin, let him cast the first stone at her. You guys don't read the Chinese Bible, by the way.
The Chinese Bible?
The communist Chinese Bible.
Oh, is that right?
It ends differently. I'll tell you in a minute. Well, I'll tell you now so you can stop thinking about it. In the communist Chinese Bible, it actually says, and the men went away, and then Jesus said, I have no sin, and he stones her.
Yeah. Say that again?
In the communist Chinese Bible, all the men went away, and Jesus said, well, I have no sin, and then he stones her. In the communist Bible.
Oh,
so,
that's a giant decorator. Right?
Yeah.
You got it wrong, okay?
Yeah.
No.
Thank you, God, for not hurting us there.
I know. Amen. Yeah. Amen. And let us, who hath no sin, let them cast the first stone at her. And bending down again, he wrote in the earth. But hearing and being convicted by their conscience, they went out one by one. I mean, because yeah, you could. I mean, they're like, if I don't have any sin, I could cast the stone at her. And they're like, but do I not have any sin? I know I have sin. And so they couldn't do it. Because then they'd be, you know, remember, they're afraid of God. They're like, well, this is a God thing. And if I cast the stone and I've got sin in me, something may happen to me. But people probably know my sin. I mean, when people hang in groups, you know each other's sins, you know, because you see each other. And so you're like, there's no way they're going to get away with it because they all know each other. So they couldn't do anything about it. I mean, he just stopped them in their tracks. But hearing and being convicted by their conscience, they went out one by one, beginning from the older ones until the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the middle, and Jesus bending back up and observing no one but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are those your accusers? Did not one give judgment against you?" And she said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I give judgment. Go and sin no more." So he's like, stop doing what you're doing. But it's like, because it's a heart thing. The people, religion isn't about heart. Religion's about actions. Yeah, it's about doing what you're told, doing what should be done, what should be expected. But that's not what relationship is. Relationship is about... I was talking last week, it was about people won't come to God because they're like, why sin too much? And it's like, when you fall in love with somebody, you stop doing things that bother them. It's just natural. It just happens. Mostly. I still do some things that bug my wife. But for the most part, there's things you just don't do. You're like, oh, that will annoy my wife, so I'm not going to do that because I love her. Even though in my heart of hearts, I want to do it. You know, that's exciting to me. It's fun, but it bothers her. So, I mean, it's just like the same way with God. When you fall in love with God, you're like, God doesn't like that. And so it just falls away. And it becomes a non-thing. It's like, it just, you lose all desire to do it. It just didn't, you're, so it's, that's the way with sin. It just kind of starts falling away. And God does that. The more and more you fall in love with him, it just falls away. And you just, it's for a couple of reasons. Because you love, but also because you see how empty it is. You're like, oh, that didn't really bring me joy. It's fun when you do a sin and you're like, oh, that was so much fun. You do it again. And then realize when you get older, you realize it's actually not a lot of fun. It's actually awful. And the next day you feel horrible. And it's like you realize, oh, just the world told me this was fun. You know, it's like I never understood drinking. I still to this day don't understand. People are like, I love to go out and get drunk. And I'm like, it's a lot of money. You're killing your liver. The next day you feel horrible. I don't understand the fun. Where's the fun part? Tell me. I guess to me, I'm already so free with myself. I never drank on purpose because I knew that I am already free with my tongue. And that if I drank, I might say some things I would really regret. So I just don't. I don't drink alcohol. Mary will tell you, if I drink, I become very quiet because I don't know what will come out of my mouth. So it's just we've been told. It's so funny because like I can see as a child growing up and being told by Hollywood what was fun and entertaining and what was good. I mean, you saw, you know, you always have these movies of these college kids and they all go and they party and they, you know, they're loose with each other and everything. And you're told that's fun. And you're told if you want to be cool, you know, you need to smoke and do drugs and, you know, try to steal beer from your parents' fridge. And, you know, that's what you're told is because that's what the devil wants is to get you away from what's truly awesome. I wrote on my Facebook last week, just something I had is why are the passions of the devil more enticing than the passions of God? That wasn't what I wrote, but something like that. But it's like God's passions are way, I mean, God's pleasures are way, way, way beyond what the devil can ever offer. Anything the devil offers and says is a pleasure is counterfeit to what God can do. God created everything. You know, the devil will say, you should, you know, for food, you know, I mean, food tastes wonderful. It's awesome. God invented all this food and we can eat it and it's just awesome. And then, but the devil will turn it into gluttony and you'll just overeat. It's like, why? And it's like, you know, it's, the devil can't do anything that God hasn't already done better, but he tricks us into thinking that his deal is better. And that's what's crazy, is how we fall for that. And we do. So anyway, hallelujah. So nobody judged her. You can't. We can't judge each other because we've all sinned. So nobody, you can't say, oh, you did thus and so. Now you could come to a brother and say, what you're doing is not going to be helpful to yourself. It's good to rebuke people in love. God has given me that gift somehow. People will say, wow, you just said that so nicely. I'm like, it wasn't me. That was God. I would say, you're an idiot. Stop doing that. But God will come out of my mouth and it'll say something and they'll be like, oh yeah, I see why I shouldn't do that. That's God. That's not me. Cause I can be very coarse because I just think, God, that's just stupid. Why are you doing that? And what God was come out of my mouth was, that's not going to bless you. This over here is a gift and your life will be a lot more, exciting or whatever. Anyway, hallelujah.
What do you think Jesus wrote on the ground?
I don't know.
I was wondering the same thing.
He was.
Like, what? And why did he react that way?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a mystery what he was writing.
Right on the ground. He probably would have told us if it was important.
Yeah.
Probably. He was probably thinking, out for lunch, I want a falafel and. it was actually probably something profound that we don't know. Yeah, it probably does. Probably was.
Well, sometimes it helps to, it's probably not the right answer, but to not react.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe it's just saying that you're not God. Telling you're not God. And he was just maybe quieting himself and just scribbling or something, to process what God was telling him.
Well, exactly, because that's what he always said. I don't do anything that I don't hear from my father.
Right.
So.
Right.
He was listening.
Yeah.
Slow to speak, quick to listen.
Yeah.
He's a good listener.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Father was speaking through him.
Yeah. Yeah, it is good. Yeah.
It's always good to give a rushed answer.
A quick answer, and then it's wrong. As it comes out of your mouth, you're like, yeah, that was the wrong answer.
And his response was absolute genius.
Yeah, couldn't be disputed at all.
Yeah. I like that, though. Who said he's non-reactive?
David was saying that. He said that he often, you think about the person, the woman who touched his robe, the crumbs from the table, he went about his daily life and people would come and ask him things. And at some point he might just say, go your way, your daughter's healed or whatever.
Yeah.
He lived on a different plane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think what came to me is that he's non-reactive because he has nothing in him to trigger him.
Yeah.
Because why do we react? We react because we were something, in the past that hurt us or offended us or something. So
right.
It causes us to react or else
correct.
We react defensively. And Jesus, he didn't have any of that in him.
Right.
So he couldn't be reactive.
Correct. Yeah.
It's just came to me as God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble.
Yeah.
And if they had come to him like, we don't know, we're kind of confused or whatever, they were getting up.
Right.
It's all scripted.
Right.
They're like, yeah, we're bloodthirsty, and all this kind of stuff. And God's like, oh yeah? Okay. Let's have a playground time. While you guys are so dead serious about judging somebody else. No. Because he's like, no, you guys are not going to play me.
Yeah.
Or destroy somebody.
With the law.
Right, with the law. Because the law is actually meant to bless us, not to condemn us. It's point us to God. Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world, and he following me will in no way walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. So, if the world needs a light, that means there's darkness all around. That means we need to see the truth. And you can't, like, the older I get, the worse my eyes are, the more light I need. People are always asking me, well, do I need more light in my kitchen when I'm doing a remodel? They're like, I'm like, yeah, the older I get, the realize I need more lights in my house because it's harder to see things. And so the world is dark and we need light. And so Jesus came in and he was light and he shines in all the, that's the thing about light is it shines in all the dark places and you see all the dirt in the corners and the sin in your life and it just brings it out. But then you got to have the right reaction. You're like, oh, thank you, God, for showing me that. Thank you that you're going to take care of that. That's what I love is when God shows me a sin, a lot of people think, well, that's something I got to work on. You're like, nope. Nope. God's showing you sin because he's going to work on it. He's just letting you know what one you're about to lose. That's the sin you're about to, you know, lose. He's going to take care of that. And you're like, oh, thank you, Jesus. Then the Pharisees said to him, you witnessed concerning yourself. So you're like, how can you talk about you? Your witness is not true. And Jesus answered and said to them, even if I witness concerning myself, my witness is true. For I know from where I came and where I go, but you do not know from where I came and where I go. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. But even if I judge, my judgment is true because I am not alone, but I am the Father who sent me. So he's like, and that's going to trigger him for sure. But it's like you can't, they never did. They never found fault in him. They had to make stuff up. Remember when in the end when they finally got him, they had to get people to lie. They couldn't ever, nothing he said, even though it incensed them and they were furious and they're like, this guy is evil. How can he pretend? They couldn't find anything. He didn't say anything that was worthy of death, except for he, you know, hurt their pride, you know. My judgment is true because I am not alone, but I am the Father who sent me. So, and in your law, it has been written that the witness of two men is true. So, Jesus and the Father, the witness of two is true. And I am the one witnessing concerning myself, and he who sent me, the Father, witnesses concerning me. Remember, he came down, you know, John the Baptist was baptizing him and the dove came down. And, you know, the Father said, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. So it's incredible. This is stuff that you can, that, you know, we need, I mean, this is stuff we need to know because it just strengthens our faith all the more. It's something we need to understand. And, you know, it's like, you can't undo it. And they said to him, where is your father? And Jesus answered, you neither know me nor my father. See, again, they're thinking fleshly. They're not thinking spiritual. If they had known, I mean, he said, you know, if you'd known Moses, you would have known me. They're still, law is their God. God is not their God. The law is their God. And that was the problem, is they couldn't see past that because they didn't understand who God was. They thought God is this capricious person in the sky who, if we do wrong, he's going to destroy us. You know, so we got to keep his law. You know, one of my favorite things that Jesus ever said was, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. That just destroys the law. It's like, I'm here to bless you. I'm not here to burden you. I'm here to take your burden. And it's like, I made the Sabbath because you need to rest. I'm telling you. I know that because I work too much. I work 7 days a week. And my body goes, hey, Stop it. You're going to fall apart if you don't stop doing that. God knows what's best for us. And he's like, I made you Sunday so that you could rest, you know, or Saturday back then. So, you neither know me nor my Father. If you had known me, you would have also known my Father also. So, the thing is, he's not even mad at these guys. He's like, man, there's a better deal than what you've got. What you've got is so earthly and so futile. I've got a deal where you're going to be blessed, and you just need to stop being so proud and just open up your heart. That's the thing that I've learned. It's funny. Facebook has been such a blessing to me, because when I would first get on there and I would argue with people, I could feel it. My adrenaline would go up, and then over years, God just taught me just to love those people. And you can think more clearly when you're not all incensed and you're trying to figure out, well, this person's a moron and I need to show them the truth so that they can be set free. That's a wrong answer. That's not love. That's just me wanting to, you know, one up them. Anyway, I'm going to keep going. And Jesus spoke these words in the treasury, teaching in the temple, and no one seized him, for his hour had not yet come. So, I mean, they wanted to. That's what I think is powerful. But when God gives you something to do, nobody can stop you. It doesn't matter how bad they want to. It doesn't matter how much resources they have. It doesn't matter how powerful they are. If you are on a mission, as the Blues Brothers said, if you're on a mission from God, nothing can stop you. They can't do anything to you. You will do what you need to do until... I'm not saying bad things won't happen to you, because they may. I mean, bad things happened to Paul. You know, shipwreck, put in jail. But he still just kept going. And we have, you know, 3/4 of the New Testament because of that. So, hallelujah. And Jesus said to them again, I go away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. That sounds harsh, but it's true. It's like, golly, you're going to die in your sin. So that's just that he's warning them. You need to find the truth. Where I go, you will not be able to come. And then the Jews said, will he kill himself? Because he says, where I go, you are not able to come. And he said to them, you are from below, and I am from above. You are from this world, and I am not from this world. Therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sins, for you do not believe that I am. So again, they're still carnal. They're thinking, you know, they were thinking father. They're like, his father was Joseph. You know, they're not thinking God. You know, they're thinking, you know, they don't get it. If you understand who God is, then everything that Jesus says makes complete sense, because you understand that the Father is love, not hate. The Father is mercy, not judgment. Therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am, you will die in your sins. So he gave him the answer right there. All you got to do is believe that I am. That's what I think it was Moses that he told Moses. Who shall I say sent me? I am. That's it. I mean, that was God talking to Moses. And now Jesus is saying, I am. That's who I am. And believe in me. In the Old Testament, that was all every time they sinned, all they had to do was come back and say, God, we sinned, have mercy on us. And he would immediately go, mercy. He would just give them mercy. But I don't know why they can't see that. It was fun reading the Old Testament, because you see it. It'd be a good generation, then like, it would just start to wane, and then it'd get to be about five generations, and then they realize they need God again, and they'd come back. And it's like, the problem with reading the Bible is it all happens instantly, but, you know, it actually happened over decades, you know, or centuries. And so we have to remember that where are we at in that time frame? You know, are we in a time where things are going to happen. Is the whole world going to fall apart and the millennium going to start? People are always talking about the end times, and they're like, well, we're in the end times. I'm like, really? Has the Antichrist said, here I am, I'm going to sit on the temple? The temple hasn't even been built yet. Once the temple's been built, that's when I'm going to start going, okay, something's about to happen. But then again, we don't know immediately. But, the Antichrist has got to say, I'm God, and he's got to sit on, the throne of the temple. Then we know, we can start thinking about it. But what's interesting is Jesus told us just to be ready. He didn't tell us, just be ready for his return, have oil in our lamps. But he wasn't telling us to always be looking for signs and things like that. If he was interested in all that, he would have given us lots more information, because he's not interested in it's just being ready is in relationship. A bride and a groom, when they're ready, they can get married at any time. Okay, we're ready. It doesn't have to be. Anyway, I'm going to keep going. I'm just going to go off in dumbness. Then they said to him, well, who are you? And Jesus said to them, altogether, what I also say to you, I have many things to say and to judge concerning you, but the one sending me is true, and I heard of him. These things I say to the world. They did not know that he spoke to them of the Father. So, again, they don't understand that he's talking about God. And he should by now. By now they should realize that he's talking about God. I mean, I don't know. I probably wouldn't have either. I like to think that, man, you guys should have clued in. And I'm sure I would have been just as dumb. And because their minds are already set. When your minds are set like that, you can't unthink of it. You have to undo all that teaching. That's the whole point of the education system now today, is to create good little communists. It takes a lot to unteach kids that they've been taught wrong their entire life, that the whole world isn't about saving Mother Nature and just do what you're told. And it's like, it's so funny. It's horrible. So it's...
Well, look how long it takes us to unlearn legalism.
It does. I mean,
Well, they only heard Jesus, a few years?
Right.
And it takes us, religious people,
right,
to unlearn legalism. It takes us many years.
30 years. Thank you, Jesus. I did not have that problem. Just because I grew up with my dad being, you're wicked. Okay, I got it. I'm wicked. So, I have so many friends that it's hard. It is hard. It's hard. My mom grew up in legalism her whole life. She was just being good. She had to be good because that's what you did. And it's fun. Now that my dad is not here, she's realizing that she doesn't have to be good. And she's being herself. It's wonderful to see her be her. She's Peggy now and not Jim's wife.
It seemed like she really attained that understanding before.
Yes. But she's coming into it now. She's living it. Yeah. And it's good. I mean, hallelujah.
Precious.
She gave a wonderful, I think it was the 80th. Just beautiful when she got up in the church.
And
it's like, wow, this woman is both aware of where she was or is and totally free.
Yeah, yeah.
All in one.
Yeah.
Mm. It was wonderful.
So precious.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that came from her parents. Her parents bred that legalism into her. Okay. Her mom would say things like, if you sin, you're going to ride down a banister on razor blades and go to hell. And so, that would scare a child. And you'd think, well, man, I got to be good. And
forget
just,
that,
and right. You just got to do, what's right, even if it's, and she would just stuff everything down in. She would never do what she wanted to do, never did what her blessed her. She just did what was right, because that's what you got to do. And it's like, no, you got to listen to God, do what God tells you, because often what we think is right is wrong. Moses made a serpent and put it on a cross. That seems wrong because the serpent was bad. So why would you do that? Because that's what God told him to do. And when people looked on it, they were healed.
Yeah.
But that seems totally wrong, because the serpent was bad. We all know that from the garden. The serpent was bad. Yeah. Serpents, anyway. We have to not assume with our own wisdom who God is, because God is fun and unique and always, he's every day the same, and yet he doesn't do anything the same. Whenever he heals people, it's always different. Puts mud in his eye. He speaks to them. He says, "Your servant that's way away is healed." You know, the woman touches his garment. It's never the same. You can't make a religion out of it if it's never the same. And that's why I think that's why God does everything, is because if God leaves stuff around, we'll make a religion out of it. The Jews made a religion out of the law. You know, we make that our God, and because it's easier, because you can worship that. You can see it, you can touch it, you know about it, it's logical, you can make a God out of it. God is not logical to us. It's just, and it's a, you know, the fact that God's been around forever, that still hurts my head. You could go insane if you thought about the fact that God has been around forever and has never not been. It's like, your mind can't comprehend that.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
I mean, I can even comprehend that I'll be around for the rest of eternity, because I had a beginning. But God didn't have a beginning. You're like, how did God get here? He didn't. He's just always been. It's like, that hurts your head. You just have to accept it in faith.
Praise God that, you know, the Bible didn't start out like that.
Right.
You know, it starts out like in the beginning.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Yeah, the beginning, yeah.
In the beginning of time. Yeah.
That's interesting.
You know, it's like, it hard,
it's like for us.
God didn't say.
We have to have a beginning, but there really isn't a beginning.
Right.
It's
correct.
Before it even is.
Right.
Doing all that.
The whole reason the universe was created was for Jesus to have a bride.
Praise the Lord.
So people say, you know, what is the meaning of life? The whole reason the universe was created was for Jesus to have a bride, to rule with him. And I don't know what that even means, because I'm like, well, who are we ruling over, God? But he wants to have a bride to rule with him. So, and when Jesus said to them, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am. From myself I do nothing, but as my Father taught me, and these things I speak. And the one who sent me is with me. The Father did not leave me alone, for I always do the things pleasing to him. As he spoke these things, many believed unto him." So that's awesome. So some people's hearts were immediately turned. Because remember, he spoke with authority. You're like, God, you say things that nobody else has said before. This doesn't make any sense to us. But man, we're designed to think this way. And it's like he got through all of our dumb thoughts into the heart of hearts. And he pierced all the stupidity in us and was like, that is right. You know, because we know it. I mean, we're designed to be God's bride. And so we know, I mean, everything that's in us knows it. You're like, that's correct. So whether or not you allow yourself to be, I mean, that's why it says, the Bible says, you know, it talks about the rich man and the poor man, but it actually means the humble man and the man who can do it in his own strength. So the poor man knows he needs God. The rich man says, I can do it on my own. I don't need God. So it doesn't have anything to do with being rich. It just has to do with he can do it in his own strength. And the poor man has nothing. So it's like all he's got left is God. So it's easier for the poor man to realize it because he's got nothing than it is for a rich man to go, oh, I need God. I can't, you know, all this wealth isn't doing me anything. Then Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Isn't that what we want? And it's got to be set free. It's horrible to be in bondage, you know, monetarily, spiritually, whatever. Freedom is, it's an amazing feeling. It's like going hiking and you're standing in the middle of the mountains and there's nothing around you. And there's just, I don't know, it's just free. It's like nothing could stop you. And then the fears creep in. Well, if I'm stuck here, then what will I eat? You know, that's not freedom. Because remember what God said, if I feed the birds, will I not feed you? If I clothe the flowers, will I not clothe you? Oh, yeah, freedom. He already said, I'll take care of everything. I'll take care of you physically, spiritually. You know, I'll perfect you. We, you know, our human nature doesn't want to die, and so we're trying to protect that. But God's like, let me protect that. Let me be the shepherd. And they answered him, "We are Abraham's seed, and immediately there. We're important. Yeah, we're Abraham's seed. And we have been enslaved to no one. Never. How do you say that we will become free? So they didn't see it. They didn't see this, how they were slaves.
The inward man.
Yeah. Exactly. And Jesus answered them, "Truly I say to you, everyone practicing sin is a slave to sin. But the slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. And that if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed."
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
So there's an inheritance, you know. It keeps going. "I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. And I speak what I have seen in my Father. And therefore you do what you have seen with your father." Because remember, they just do what they're taught. And when you have wrong teaching, it just gets passed down from generation to generation to generation. It's like the silly story about the turkey. And the husband asked the wife, "Why do you cut off the end of the turkey before you put it in the pot?" And she asked her mom, "Why do we cut off the turkey before we put it in the end of the pot?" And the mom goes, "Well, I don't know. My mom did that. Grandma, why do we cut off the turkey?" "Well, because my pot was too small." And so that's why she cut off the end of the turkey. And it's like you just do what you do, what's, and you just learn. And so that's why you have your learning has to be awesome, so that when you teach your kids, it's awesome, and that it doesn't get polluted. It's like when you go to a convention, a state convention, and you write a resolution, you make it as powerful as possible, because you know by the time it gets to where it needs to get, it's going to go through 8 iterations, and it's going to be water, and it's going to be nothing, and there's no teeth to it. So you have to write it as just... So that's why when you teach, I mean, that's why the Jewish people do all the festivals and everything, because they need to remember. And they made a law out of it, and so they missed the point. The point is, remember who God is, remember what God did for you, remember God's love, remember God's mercy. And it all just became about the festivals and not about God. So whatever. But that's why we do it. We have to remember who God is. That's why this is such a gift, this word, because we can remember who God is. And we teach our kids who God is. They have new translations that are perverted, so burn those and throw them out.
Yeah.
Like the Chinese Communist Chinese Party Bible. Because then you learn the wrong stuff.
Yeah, and I think it was Mark Zuckerberg or whoever, they were going to do a global church on Facebook or something like that. Have you heard something like that?
I have not.
Anyway, some sort of global church, and I thought, oh, jeez. CCP.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure.
CCP's Bible.
Isn't his wife
Chinese?
Communist, or is she just Chinese?
Yes. But she's
Chinese.
CCP, I don't know.
Priscilla
Chan
or something?
Yeah.
Really?
Zuckerberg's
wife is Chinese?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. What's...
And he has a baby.
What's interesting is somebody I heard somebody say the other day, I didn't know this, so you can be Chinese in China and not be communist.
That's right.
There's only a small percentage of the population that are actually communists, and I didn't know that.
80 to 100 million out of 1.4 billion.
Yeah, so it's like...
80 to 100 million out of 1.4 billion are communists.
Right.
In China.
Correct.
So it's like how...
CCP is a minority of the people.
Right.
Small minority.
But they're ruling minority.
But they rule and have power.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's amazing, I mean, because... If they knew the truth, they could be free, but they don't know the truth, so they just think...
Some do.
Yeah, some do, and they fight for it, and they lose their life for it.
This is a real rabbit trail. Like, not all Chinese are supportive of the Chinese Communist Party. For example, the Epoch Times, as you well know, is formed of Chinese people who are very much against the Chinese Communist Party.
Yeah.
So I don't know, I don't know where Priscilla Chan comes out. She's, probably because Facebook has so money coming out of China so much.
Right.
You can infer certain things.
Yeah. Anytime money comes out of China, most of the time it's from the Communist Party. And if a business does well in China, it's not very long before all of a sudden it's run by the Communist Party.
So,
hallelujah. Because they want to be God. They want to be God. They think the way to rule man, it's my mom has had this revelation that so the World Economic Forum people say man is evil and so we need to rule them. Well, they've got the first part correct. Man is evil. But the problem is they're not good.
That's right. They fall into
so are they. Too. It's on the other
right.
Side.
You're just as evil as the...
We'll take a constitution.
Right. You know? Yeah. You have to understand that you're evil, and then you can be a good ruler. If you understand that you're evil, then you know you need God, and you need God to rein you in so that you're blessing people. And, you know, because it's very, when you have power, it's very easy to be selfish with that power and not bless other people. So when you see somebody that has power and they're good, you wonder, if you don't have God, then where is that coming from?
Oh yeah.
You know, it's like, do you have a deceptive motive, or, you know, because it's like, whatever. Anyway, hallelujah. do we know where I'm at? Around 30 something or other.
41.
Am I that far?
I don't remember.
Oh yeah. Abraham is our father.
38.
Yeah. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has spoken the truth to you, which I heard alongside of God. So God told me the truth. I told it to you. I'm telling you what God is saying, and you want to kill me. Because it just ruins all their what they've been taught. Abraham did not this. You do the works of your father. Then they said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. And Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I went forth and came from God. So the ones that see it immediately, you know that God, they saw it. This is Jesus, you're God's son. So their hearts were in the right place to receive it. But the other ones, their heart is in the wrong place. And that's a huge thing, because anyway, they've just been deceived for so long that it's hard to get out of that deception. And that's the devil's thing. What is the devil? He is the father of lies. And his only trick is to deceive people long enough that they don't ever see the truth. For I have not come from myself, but that one sent me. And why do you not understand my speech? It is because you are not able to hear my word. You are of the devil as a father.
Talk about a way.
The King James, I think, says you're of your father, the devil. Uh-huh. You are of the devil as father, and the lusts of your father you desire to do. And it's funny because these guys are all super religious, but it's like that's not the point. That's not, you missed the point. And that one was a murderer from the beginning. And he has not stood in the truth because there was no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own, because he is a liar and the father of it. So, that's a side note. If anybody says that Allah is the same as God, no, because the Bible says that God cannot lie and Allah is the great deceiver. I don't know if you guys know that.
Is that what that means? Isn't that what that means?
No, that doesn't. Allah doesn't mean that. But the Quran says that Allah is the great deceiver. They've tried to change it in English words. They tried to change it to say he's wily, like he's very tricky. But actually the original translation is he is a great deceiver. Wow. So it's like, well, your God can't be our God because our God never lies, and your God is the. Because they don't. If you're not a Muslim, they can lie to your face, and it is okay.
Oh, that's right.
They can completely deceive you and swindle you, and there's nothing wrong with it because their religion says it's okay. Right. So, Allah is not God because God cannot lie because He told us He cannot lie.
Praise the Lord.
He said He wouldn't lie. There's no reason for Him to lie. When you're God, there's no reason for you to lie. It's like here's who I am. Here's my program. I'm not going to lie to you.
So yeah, that would really mess you up.
Yeah.
to be brought up with it, even your family, and like endorsing that thing, like that
lying is okay.
Yeah. The ideology of that would just really mess you up.
Well, it's easy to get ahead that way.
Well, wait a second.
It'll destroy you though.
The Ten Commandments. Sort of go back not be a... I don't recall any of them saying you should not lie. What the closest thing I
right.
get is you shall not...
Bear false witness.
Bear false witness.
Right.
There's never not lying
correct.
That I've ever found. But it's one thing for an admonition to not lie of yourself. It's different when your deity
yeah.
is lying.
Correct.
It's a whole different level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
I think that changed, that's the big shift that you pointed out.
Yeah, well there was a guy, I don't remember who he was, but like he was a big Muslim guy, like important. And they asked him, when you die, are you going to go? And he's like, Allah is capricious. I have no idea whether or not I'm going to go to, you know, I could do everything that he said to do to get to Mecca or wherever it is, wherever they go. Not Mecca, wherever they go. He goes, I have no idea if I'm going to go or not. I mean, we know. God said, trust Jesus and you'll go to heaven. That's it. You know, he doesn't know if he did enough to please Allah. And he was one of the top most religious guys. And that guy doesn't know, how would anybody else below
yeah,
know?
Like
I mean, they said you have to do one or two things. You either have to go and kill a bunch of people in my name, or you have to go populate an entire country, which is why you see them trying to populate other countries, because I guess they're not into the killing part. They're like, yeah, that's the two ways you get into their heaven. So... Again, Christianity is the only belief where God does everything and you don't have to do anything except for just accept his free gift. the Father of... Okay. Okay. And because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. Who of you reproves me concerning sin? But I speak the truth. Why do you not believe me? The one who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason, you do not hear me, because you are not of God. So it's interesting. I mean, through the Bible, I mean, there's only been certain people who have truly been listening to God. I mean, and they're in the book, or like you have Luther, or you have, you know, Wycliffe, just people just, yeah, Bonhoeffer. It was never masses and masses of people. It was always just a handful or a single person or whatever. So it's like, it's not even unreasonable that these people didn't know God, because it wasn't common. Because, I mean, we have life. I mean, you know, I mean, life is very distracting, and you just kind of go about life and you throw God into the mix. You go, yeah, I go to the, you know, the synagogue on Saturday, Friday night, you know, Saturday, and you know, you just... It's not real to you. It's not alive to you. It's not life. God should be life. And people who, again, poor people, God can be life, because they have nothing. And that's all they've got left. I mean, they have hardly anything to eat and anything. You just have to trust in God. So it's easier for them to see it. Stop beating on that. Then the Jews answered and said unto him, do we not say well that I am a Samaritan and have a demon? And Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. But I do not seek my glory, and there is one who seeks and judges. Truly I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never ever see death. So, I mean, the part where he said, I don't seek my glory, that's so important. You can see that in ministries. When people are seeking glory, you're like, your ministry is not of God, because you're interested in... your face is on the billboard. Why is your face on the billboard? What does it matter that you're the preacher of the church and you and your wife has your face plastered on the billboard? I'm not going against it. I mean, you know, guys know what I'm talking about. It's ridiculous. If you're speaking for God, you don't seek your own glory. You seek to glorify God. You want God. When I do something good, I intentionally say, that was God in me. I do not receive any credit for that, because I can't do anything. I mean, and that's just me. Whether that's me, God in me doing that, it's just me going, I'm not going to fall into that trap. It's just a conscious effort of me going, if I did something good, that was God. That was not me. If I said something good to you, that was God. That was not me. When someone comes to you and they're not seeking their own glory, you go, man, that person's of God. Because people, you want glory. You want to be praised. You do something good. There was a guy that did some work at our church a while back. And I told him, I said, nobody is going to thank you or appreciate you or even notice that you did anything. He's like, oh, I'm not worried about that. And then 2 or 3 years later, he left. And I said, why'd you leave? He goes, well, nobody thanked me or appreciated me. And I said, I told you ahead of time, you know, you were wanting someone to praise you for that. So your heart was in the wrong place. You're doing it for God, not for us. We don't. If God is happy with you, who cares whether we're happy with you or not? Are you? I mean, so where is your heart? Your heart should be, I did this for God. We do things for God all the time, and it will turn to nothing. I mean, nothing. But God told us to do it. We have no. I mean, it does turn to something. We just don't know. You know, and the Bible says, some plant and some harvest. We can plant seeds, and we go, my dad's church was nothing when he died. I mean, there's just a handful of people. He doesn't know what it's going to be in the future. He planted the seeds. He has no idea what the harvest is going to be like. I mean, that's it's not for us to, but he wasn't interested in his glory. He was interested in God's glory. So it wasn't a big deal to him. He was happy. He would have been happy if two people had showed up just so that he could tell them about God. So it's like, Jesus is like, it wasn't, you know, you should know immediately this isn't about me, my glory. It was funny, I can't remember earlier, he healed some guy, and they're like, well, who did it? And he's like, well, he didn't tell me my name. And they're like, he didn't tell you their name. He didn't want any glory? And he's like, no, he didn't tell me who he was. They healed him. I mean, that's not normal. I mean, it's funny. People have come in and they need healing, and I've almost been afraid. I'm like, I don't want anything miraculous to happen in the church, because then the church will become overflowing with people. It's like wanting miracles. And it's like, you see that happen to little churches become big churches all the time. It's just they lose their focus, because then you have to take care of all these people, and your focus is on all these people and keeping them happy and keeping them in the church and not losing them, because now you grew a bigger building and you spent all this money, and it's like you lost your first love. You know, your first love is Jesus, and that should be enough. Anyway.
Pastors that Jim raised up.
Yeah.
So that they could support more people.
Yeah. Yes.
In disciples.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're down to six now. So we're down to six now.
Praise God. That's more than, it's better than two or three.
It is.
You need one more.
I know.
One more to make it seven.
Yeah.
Well, you've had a diaspora. A diaspora, a spreading.
Oh, yes. Yeah, and that's fine. To me, that's awesome, too. I mean, because I know that's for a fact. Yeah. Our church may seem in a building physically small, but I know that there are people all over the world.
Absolutely.
And it's like, so that's the true testimony of God's glory. It's like, who cares who fills the pews? It's like the word went out, and that's what's important.
And it continues to go.
And that's what it's supposed to do.
Right. Yeah. I mean, God told originally, they said, go over all the earth. And they all stayed in one place. He's like, no, I told you to go over all the earth.
Yeah, exactly. You say go in all the world. Because, like, when there's a word, I don't remember what it is. I think it's like exousia. But it's like whether you're going next door or to another.
Yeah.
Even field.
Yeah.
Of like, endeavor or whatever that God's called you, you know, or you're going into China or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, there's something, it's called, I think it's called exousia, maybe. And it's like, it's like a power, it's like the power of God.
Yeah.
You know, going with you. The Lord's told you to do it. And that's all you really need to know.
Yeah,
in that anointing or that power will be with you.
Always ask when, though. A lot of times God will tell you to do something, and you go, okay, and you go do it.
That's a good point.
You need to ask when.
That's right.
Because sometimes you have a lot to learn before you're ready to do what he's got you to do. He's just saying, here's my vision for you.
Yeah.
And now we're going to teach you how to do that vision, yeah, and then do the vision. Sometimes it's immediately. God will tell you, go do that immediately.
Yeah.
But a lot of times God will tell you to do something, and you say, when, God? When do I need to do that? Because sometimes it doesn't happen for years. So, all right. Then the Jews said to him, "Now we know you have a demon." Abraham died and the prophets, and you say, "If anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death." Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died, and the prophets died? Whom do you make yourself? Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, whom you say is your God." So God glorifies me, and you say he's your God, and you have not known him, but I know him, and I say that I do. And if I say that I do not know him, then I shall be like you, a liar. But I know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham leapt for joy that he should see my day, and he saw and rejoiced. Then the Jews said to him, see, that's what I was talking about. Abraham didn't know. God gave Abraham, you're going to have, you know, the sands of the sea and the stars in the sky. And he had one kid. He's like, how do you have the sands of the sea and the stars of the sky? Well, he had two, sorry. He had Ishmael.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's crazy. So God, you know, we have no idea what God's going to do. He just tells you to do something, you do it, because he sees the big picture. We just see what's in front of us. You do not have yet 50 years, and you, oh, let's see. And your father Abraham leapt for joy that he should see my day, and he saw and rejoiced. Then the Jews said to him, "You do not have yet 50 years, and you have seen Abraham?" And Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham came into being, I am." Then they took up stones that they might throw them on him. And Jesus was hidden and went forth out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. So,
would you please read verse 58? In your version, please.
And Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham came into being, I am."
He said, "I am." You know, I think there's just so much power in that he calls himself "I am."
There's yeah, a, there's no ambiguity.
It's like there you go.
and that, of course, that again, everything he did to the Jews in this chapter is so offensive to them.
Right.
Absolutely. That's what I'm thinking all I'm reading this.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my
gosh. If you don't believe he's God, you are so offended by this.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
That's true.
You are so angry.
Yeah.
There was like riots in what they call it.
I think
like,
he would be out of control with anger.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they wanted to stone him right there on the spot.
Out of control.
Without even, I mean, you can't do that in the Jewish culture. You have to go before a tribunal, and you have to.
They picked up stones.
And they were just picking up stones. They're like, "This guy is going now."
Yeah. Yeah. He sounds crazy.
Yeah.